This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation universe, welcome back to our reaction shows we do here for all the big WWE pay-per-view events. And we're here tonight discussing Hell in a Cell. I'm your host, Chris Zellner, joined as always by the Oracle of the WWE, Mr. Devin Hales. And Devin, this was quite the interesting show tonight.
Yes, it was. This was the first 3.5 hour non-Big Four since last summer, Money in the Bank 2016.
It's been a while.
When Ambrose cashed in, I think, was that one, I believe, went 3.5. I think Roman and Rollins started at about 10:55 and went about 25 minutes, so... There are some similarities there in terms of the exciting finishes and the length of the show, but it's been a while since we've had something like this.
Yeah, it has. I don't know if we needed to go that long. But
debatable.
Yeah, because a couple of these matches, I tell you. But anyway, let's start with the pre-show. Ty Dillinger and Daniel Bryan was backstage, and Ty was wanting to get added to the U.S. title matches. He pinned Corbin on SmackDown, and Bryan agreed, made a triple threat match. Then they both did each other's catchphrases. And I guess we probably should have seen this coming Tuesday when Ty went over Corbin, because it made no sense then if this was going to be Corbin in style. So they had to do this.
Yeah. They had to do it. I mean, Ty's been involved in this angle the last month and been involved in every segment. And like you said, the win pretty much, I mean, I figured they would announce it, you know, later in the night on SmackDown, but they didn't. I do want to say one thing about this segment is I do think it's funny that they're trying to fit in like all the wacky Daniel Bryan, you know, like segments and moments from Talking Smack into like backstage segments now, because they don't have Talking Smack, so they have him like interact with wrestlers just so they can do wacky shit like the Yes and 10 thing they did.
Well, how about this? On a night they bring back Talking Smack, but Brian's not on there.
Yeah.
Pete Rosenberg is. How about that?
It doesn't make any sense.
Which makes me wonder. Was this segment even taped here tonight? Could have been taped Tuesday. We need to go back and investigate, see what Brian was wearing on Tuesday, and see if he was wearing the same clothes here in this, because I'm kind of dubious. With all that junk about Talking Smack and not having Brian on there. Interesting.
Very true.
We have all kinds of other BS going on. Eddie and English sang a song dedicated to Rusev. We had Charlotte in the social media lounge. And then we had a tag match. Shelton Benjamin and Chad Gable, who haven't been on TV recently, defeated the Hype Bros, Zack Ryder and Mojo Rawley. And, boy, this was quite the interesting match. Zack Ryder, to me, at least definitely in the early part of this match, looked like he didn't give a shit. He was moving so slow. He bumped on a strike on Chad Gable. He hit Gable and he took the bump. It was really odd the early part of the match, but then it picked up. Mojo came in and lit it up. Benjamin and Gable look good. They have matching gear now. Fully matching gear. So, they get the win, but nothing happened here. And I mean, there was, I guess, kind of dissension, but still nothing happened. So we're still going to drag this one out. What do you say about the match?
I thought it was really good, actually. The first 2 minutes of the match, the Cowboys were desperately trying to do a hook and ladder. And I was sort of, I had it on my phone, then we had to switch to the Amazon app. So I didn't miss Zack Ryder bumping on his own strike. But I didn't see that. But I actually did like the little exchange you had with Shelton, the little wrestling exchange, even if it wasn't, you know, anything extraordinary. But yeah, I thought this was a really good match. They teased Ascension. You know, they did the spot where, you know, they teased that the match would end on a Ascension spot where Zach like looked back and like yelled at Mojo, and then they did a near fall. And then the match just went a few more minutes after that. So they teased it, but nothing really came of it. I expected Gable and Benjamin to win this, and I think they're probably the number one contenders going forward. Looks like
you would think so. You definitely think so. They were trying to come up with like a name for the team. The announcers were. I know they were trying to push that Minnesota Wrestling Crew name. So we'll see if they do eventually come up with something. So, and the SmackDown Tag Division right now is just so, other than the two teams we're going to talk about, it's just so non-existent. I mean, there's nothing there.
No.
So, no. I mean, there's Brazongo, who we'll talk about later. They can't get on television, and Ascension, it's Ascension, and it's a mess. It's definitely a mess right now. So maybe Benjamin and Gable can break out the pack, no doubt. All right, main show starts with our Hell in a Cell match, one of the two. New Day versus the Usos, and this feud has been amazing throughout their entire run. And, you know, the first feud when they were on opposite sides, and now, you know, this New Day's babyface and Usos are heels. It's been amazing. And this, to me, felt like it should be a feud ender, the way this match was. And they went out, and they had one of the most physical, heated matches you'll see on a WWE show. And you got the feeling that these two teams hated each other, really hated each other. And these are two teams that have done, like, silly stuff. You know, we had, like, the rap battle and all the New Day's silly skits. But when it comes to when they're in the ring, they really, you know, exhibit that hatred towards each other. And this was just chaos. Just wild bumps. All Big E is just trying to kill himself numerous times. Xavier, he's taking a lot of punishment in this match. And I'm definitely glad that Xavier worked this match and not Kofi. Although Kofi, to his credit, did really well as the second on the floor, showing emotion and stuff. But Usos get the win. Very decisive, in my opinion. And I think they need to end it here. I mean, I would watch these two teams go to war all the time, but it's time to do something different. And it may be time, as your brother Dylan mentioned on Twitter, this may be the time to maybe split New Day up or at least split Big E off. So thoughts about the match and thoughts about what's next for New Day?
The match was pretty excellent, pretty outstanding. I actually might have the kickoff pre-show match from like SummerSlam slightly ahead of it. I think that the when they started out right away using the props and New Day being a little bit comedic at first, I was slightly annoyed. It was fun, but I was a little annoyed. But, you know, obviously by the end of the match, I was definitely into it and definitely compelled. But that's my only complaint. But otherwise, it was a tremendous match. This is probably the best feud of the year in WWE. This and Roman and Braun, you know, they're neck and neck, and this might be ahead of it. This match was amazing. Big E did his spear spot like 5 minutes in. He missed it, then he hit it.
Yes, he went twice.
Really creative spots, like basically putting. I can't remember if it was Jimmy or Jay who they put in with the kendo sticks and locked them into the base, like,
yes,
trapped them inside. It looked like some like weird torture scene from like Saw or something.
And I love that, and I don't think they did enough with that. I think they should they put him in there and like they started making fun of him. I really think they should have like did some offense on him, like when he was like that.
Oh yeah,
they're really, they're really, you know, showed the hatred.
Oh yeah, but this match was, I mean, Xavier Woods was amazing in this match because that's where the hatred came in. That's where the Usos did. When they put him in the handcuffs and wrapped him on the ring post, he got savagely beaten by those kendo sticks.
I was on Twitter worrying about that because the imagery of how Xavier was and they were whipping him like that, I was like, oh boy. You know, because we didn't have this lately, you know, with the stuff with Jinder and Nakamura. I was like, oh no.
Right.
Here we go. But luckily, I didn't see it.
Yeah, his performance was amazing. And when he was the only one left in those handcuffs and he did the shoot headbutt and was like fighting, like that was a star-making performance right there. Like it was a really, really, really amazing performance. And he looked incredibly strong and looks tougher and better coming out the way he lost.
Absolutely.
That way because how tough he looked. Yeah, that match was pretty amazing. All the near falls, the false finishes, especially the one where Big E, they did the fucking Doomsday Tope into the cage. And then Big E kicked out after two Superfly splashes right after that, which is fine. Because, I mean, in a feud under big kickouts like that are perfectly fine.
In this type of match, definitely. It's a Hell in a Cell match.
Right,
right. You go all out.
And I'm also someone who get more into matches when there's false finishes where I actually think it's a finish and then it's not. So that's always a plus for me. Cause I say that because I heard people complaining about the, Ricola bomb on an Ambrose at No Mercy, not being the finish. I was like, that kick out made the match better.
Yeah, but, exactly.
So this match was pretty amazing. And I have no qualms with people giving it, you know, the full five or whatever. It was a pretty great match for sure.
The kickoff match that you mentioned at SummerSlam was probably the better wrestling match.
Right.
This match was the better spectacle, and it had more heat. Like I said, more violence, and. Mm-hmm. If this is the feud ender, like I said, this is the way to go out in this type of match. Because I don't know, what can you do to come back from this to do it again? It's kind of like anticlimactic.
It's tough. And as far as New Day goes, I mean, I don't know what you do with them. I mean, there's nobody else you can really put them in a program with as heels. I can think of two people right off the top of my head. And you might know where I'm thinking of.
Yeah, I got you.
How the show ended.
But would that seem like a come down though? I mean,
I do think it would for especially those two. But I don't know what else to do with them. You know, maybe the colognes. Yeah, I mean, because I think they're both healthy now, right? I think both the colognes are healthy again. So.
SmackDown is something where, and we're going to talk about this throughout the show. I mean, there is a lot of things you're like, where do we go from here? What do we do now? You know, and especially in that main event finish, it's like, what do you do? So, I mean, there's a lot of interesting stuff on SmackDown, but, I definitely think it's time for Big E to branch out on his own and become singles.
Yeah.
It's time.
That's the way to go.
I mean, he's ready. He's been ready. So, and Kofi and Xavier could make a really, really fun tag team, a regular team. And they could still be together. I mean, like you're breaking them up. It's just Big E focuses mainly on singles.
Yeah.
So, and of course, the Usos. What can you say? What can you say about those guys? I mean, they are one of the most consistent acts in the history of the WWE. It's crazy to think how great they are and they don't get talked about enough.
I know, it's nuts. They're at this point, I think that we've talked about this before on here, but they're probably the best WWE tag team of all time.
I mean, if they're not number one, they're top two, three, no doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
Oh yeah, for sure.
I mean, just the consistency and the longevity. It's crazy. All right, we'll move on. Randy Orton versus Rusev. It was interesting that this match went on next, because this is the complete opposite of the previous match. It's Randy Orton, and it's kind of the perfect contrast, and it was made a lot of sense to go to this match from the previous match. You know, and if you want to go a deal where you getting your crowd to, you know, you bring them down and get them to come back up, this will be the match to run with. But this was a pretty good match. The work was solid, not spectacular, but solid. Picked up towards the end. The counter that Rusev had, you know, when he tried to get the accolade, I thought, oh my God. And then
I popped for that.
And then Orton come back and got the RKO for the win. I was like, man, great RKO, but shit, I really would have loved to have Rusev won this match, but it didn't happen. Orton gets the win. So, what's about the match, and where do we go from here with these two?
I thought it was a very good match. I thought Rusev's rib work was pretty good. I thought Orton took a nice bump into the barricade to start that up. And I thought the match did pick up towards the end, and the heat, you know, followed with it. You know, because there was obviously a concern of. Imagine following New Day versus Usos. So, you know, that's a very difficult task. I totally popped for that counter. I've never seen that. Cause you know, Orton doing his, you know, is pumping down his fist on the mat crap. You know, you'd think somebody be smart enough to do that. And then finally somebody does and you're like, oh shit, somebody actually did it. Rusev took a great bump on the RKO for the finish, but yeah, I wonder what Rusev's future is. Maybe, you know, put he and Aiden in a tag team. You know, I mean, that seems like a high possibility.
New Day against Rusev and Aiden. I mean, that's interesting if they want to go that route. Odd couple of team, but they've been aligned together lately. I mean, that's a possibility. Orton's tough because I mean, do you put him back up in the main scene? You put him with Owens now, or you can't go back to gender. It's too quick. So
we have to remember they're going to be fighting for brand supremacy here pretty soon. So.
Yeah, there is Survivor Series. You're right. Because the next SmackDown pay-per-view is in December, correct?
I think so.
Yeah, TLC. TLC's in 2 weeks. Yes, we got another one in 2 weeks. And then,
and then it's
Survivor Series.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
And then
Clash of Champions in December.
Clash of Champions, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, you're right. I mean, SmackDown has some time to get some stuff set up. So yeah, brand supremacy, or I think this year we may see some like mixed brand tags going on. So
yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if we've seen that. But yeah, Randy has gone on record on the Edge of Christian podcast saying he doesn't like being babyface. So do you think maybe they'll acquiesce to turning him heel? SmackDown babyface side right now is kind of, who knows with Randy? He's tough.
I don't know. I'm surprised he hasn't taken more time off on TV. I know he's taken some, you know, taken off house show schedules, but he's not taken off TV in 15 months.
See, this is why I think Rusev should have went over.
Yeah.
But. Whatever. You know, it is what it is. Rusev has his spot, and that's where they're going to keep him at. Sadly, the way it looks, so.
Yep.
All right. Three-way dance. USA title. AJ Styles defending against Baron Corbin and Ty Dillinger. This match here. When I talk about the show being long, this match contributed to that. Now, Was it a good match? Yes, it was. Was AJ Styles tremendous and awesome in this match? Yes, he was. Ty Dillinger stepped up. He held his own. Corbin did fine, too. Did good. This went too long. I think if they would have cut 10 minutes off this match, it would have been even better. I don't know why. They went really, really long with this one. But it told a good story. AJ, my God. I just can't speak highly enough about him. I'll let you talk about him in a minute. But some good false finishes in this one. And then Corbin steals the pin on Dillinger after the phenomenal forearm and kicking AJ out of the ring. So Corbin wins the championship, which we should have seen coming considering how he's been treated lately. They love doing True. That. This is, you know, they love putting these, you know, putting the guys down and then build them back up, give them the belt. So here he is getting the title. I kind of wish some they would have went in the other direction, but I understand. What'd you think?
I thought this match was fantastic, and I actually wasn't bothered by the length, oddly enough. This match was really, really good. AJ was tremendous in this. He held everything together. He took some incredible bumps. You know, as you said, the false finishers were great. His bump on the choke slam choke breaker was insane. Like he was just on in prime AJ form in this. And I said this on Twitter, but if you've been following AJ for a long time, he's one of the better, if not the best, three-way wrestler ever, as far as in triple threat matches. He knows how to pace those, work those. He knows how long to sell, so and knows how to get back into the action to where you're not wondering where he is and wondering where the hell is he. He's been laying there. He doesn't do that. He sells just long enough, you know, at just the right times. He's, you know, for it's just amazing how, and I mean, triple threat is really a hindrance in a lot of ways as far as a match style. But he can really, really have a great triple threat match, and he's had multiple of them in WWE so far. He had that Bray Cena match earlier this year, had that Ziggler Corbin triple threat late last year. He's just and of course the, you know, the famous Daniels Joe AJ matches from TNA. He can work a triple threat match as good as anybody ever. And it might seem like a weird compliment, but I think it's a huge plus because triple threat matches are hard to work, and they really can be boring and worked poorly if they're not done in a certain way. So yeah, he was outstanding in this, and I thought Ty stepped up. I was glad to see him in this. Corbin winning is, I think, a mistake because I think Corbin is not over with the crowd. I think there are times.
Where's your briefcase? Tonight. Where's yes. your briefcase? I was chanting tonight at him.
There were times where he was on offense where the crowd were literally sitting on their hands. And that was the only, like, it was like, they don't care about him. They just don't care about him. I don't even hate Baron Corbin. I've gone down on him a little bit the last few months. I think his effort has lacked in the last few months, but he was very good tonight. But it's like giving him the belt just seems like the wrong choice here. This is really the one booking decision outside of another one that really bothered me as far as who won the match is concerned. I mean, I'm not devastated or anything, but I thought it was just, I just don't think he's over enough to have the belt.
Yeah, I mean, that's an issue he has. And I think the way they've treated him lately has helped him get less over in a way.
Yes.
Dillinger's the guy here that I'm intrigued about. Is he proved that he belongs, you know, in these types of matches? And I think that I think maybe they're going to do Corbin and Dillinger maybe as a singles feud.
Very possible, yeah, because they've been having a lot of TV matches lately, and the feud sort of centered around them because, you know, when it was announced it was going to be, what was it, Ty and AJ, and then Corbin came out. And so it's, I mean, you know, AJ was at the center of it, but it was always, you know, Corbin and Ty kind of, you know, at each other's throats with AJ in the middle. So it seems like that'll be there. And then I don't know what they're going to do, but they might do AJ going for the WWE title.
Well, I'm pretty sure they're going to probably try to type a loose end here because AJ is going to want a rematch because he didn't lose the title himself.
Sure, of course.
So yeah. We're going to have that happen.
Of course.
AJ and Jinder, I mean, that's definitely going to happen. And it makes sense, especially with how Jinder Nakamura ended. So it makes sense to go that way. But, yeah, I think, like I said, I think Ty deserves to be a player now. He deserves to get up there.
Yeah, I do too. He was very good tonight.
All right. Next up, we have the Women's Championship. Natalya against Charlotte. And I was not looking forward to this match. Natalya has regressed a lot in my mind over the recent years. Charlotte is okay, but she's much better as a heel performer, charisma wise. This match was just there for me. I didn't care about this match. Boy, Charlotte. That moonsault, I mean, that could have been a disaster. I mean, she took one rotation too many, and I mean, she could have definitely blew her knee out on that landing. Nanny didn't catch her good either, so that could have been a disaster. And then we had the DQ finish right after that. Nanny using the funniest chair shots I've seen in a while because it looked like she was just laying the chair on top of real hard. But that means we must continue this feud. No Carmella yet again. So where do we go from here? And which thing to match?
You know, the match, the idea of the work of the match and the work itself was good. Very good, actually. But the problem is the roles were wrong. Charlotte's not a good face, and Natty's not a good heel. You know, they had good matches before. In fact, they have good chemistry as far as, you know, meshing well in the ring and whatnot. But the problem is, you know, think back to their Toronto match at Roadblock, you know, back in early 2016 when Charlotte was a heel and Natty was the face. That was a very good match. But this match is no one cares about Charlotte as a face. And she was not over as a face the first time, so they had to change her. You know, they turned her heel because of it, and now she's back face, and of course no one cares. Natty's definitely regressed as a worker, and just doesn't. You know, no one cares about Natalya, so it was never a match that was going to get over the crowd. It was never a match that was going to get over with a lot of people because the roles were wrong, and the people in the roles were you know not good fits. So it was never really going to be the right match. As far as the finish, I actually don't mind it. As far as, you know, the DQ finish, I just don't really care to see this match happen, you know?
That's the thing.
It's like, I mean, they've feuded for 3 years now. You know, I've seen these two have matches millions of times. I think it was Brad Stutz who said on Twitter that it's like the Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston of the women's division.
It's getting there in a way, yeah.
It's just like, so yeah, I'm with you there. I mean, the work was good, but it's just, and like I said, the finish was fine. It's just, it's like, wrong roles, and I don't want to see this match again.
Yeah, I mean, the way it was being set up, you know, when she was working over Charlotte's knee and stuff, is make you think, okay, maybe Charlotte's going to get a fluky win, and then Carmella's going to come cash in on her or something.
Yeah,
but no. Yeah. Nope, still didn't do it. And the SmackDown Women's Division, it's kind of in a flux right now because, you know, Naomi was a champion for a long time. And ever since she's lost the title, she's been pretty much absent. Becky has been on television, but her role's been kind of downgraded. Lana and Tamina are doing their thing, which, you know, they're seeing more time on YouTube than they are on the television screen.
Thank God.
And Carmella, of course, has been around and on TV and doing the thing with Ellsworth and just not even on the show tonight, period, which I thought was just weird in general. And she wasn't even weird on the show at all. So, and the SmackDown's Women's Division is, it's like the opposite of the Raw Women's Division right now in many ways.
Yeah, because the Raw Women's Division has, what, like three programs going on right now?
And Asuka so oncoming. And Asuka's
yeah,
coming.
Yeah, yeah. Yep, yep. So really four, if you think about it. Yeah, with the Sasha Bailey stuff and then the, well, I mean, I don't know if there's anything going there, but that's been teased. And then Emma, you know, leaving.
Emma doing Alicia, her thing, but, you know, Alexa yep. and Nia, friends, are they not their friends? Are they not friends? And
yeah,
Mickey James, Mickey yep. and Alexa. There's stuff going on.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing going on in this division. I mean, both the tag division and the women's division on SmackDown are, you know, Bullet Bob needs to come over there and smack Brian in the head. This shit needs to get sorted out.
Yeah, I mean, try to do something. It's kind of frustrating to look at the, you know, how SmackDown had, you know, clear stuff going on for a while there and was. Yeah, fairly solid, but now it's just, I don't know. It's weird. Well, we talked about Breezango earlier. Fashion Files has been absent from television, even though they plugged they were going to be on television last week and never made it, which I love when that happens.
Yes.
And they showed up tonight basically as in a reboot in many ways, because now they're on a new case. Which was a playoff of Pulp Fiction. We have a briefcase with a gold shining light, and we'll have Pulp Fashion Tuesday night. But the Ascension was in here yet again, which is their Ascension and Breezango. I mean, that's Ascension's best work on the main rosters, these skits. And the fans loved it. I mean, you could hear the fans were popping for stuff. So the fans are into this, but I don't know. I mean, it's not gonna carry over into the ring, you know.
It's fun, but it's like I don't understand. One thing is like, for one, I did pop for the Pulp Fiction reference. You know, I thought that was clever, but like, I don't. What. For one thing, I don't understand why you have this segment on a pay-per-view and nothing big happens. Like, this is a pay-per-view. Like have somebody attack them, like, and see who attacks them or something. Like, that was, like, to me, it's like, originally there was supposed to be a purpose, and then it was supposed to be somebody was attacking them, and then it was, like, Arn Anderson and a joke. Like, I don't understand what the point of this is. Like, put them in an actual program. Like, and the thing is, when they worked the Usos in a tag feud in the spring and summer, they were actually over in the ring.
Yeah.
You know, and they did the comedy stuff that, you know, made me want to gouge my eyes out. But like, it was super over and the fans loved it. Then they stopped wrestling on TV. You know, then, you know, now they do their skits every 2 or 3 weeks. And it's like, I mean, the fans enjoy it, but there's no purpose for it at all anymore. It's just, oh, laugh out loud, time for a Breezango skit. Like, I think it's smart to that they have this, you know, this these skits and vignettes and stuff, because it does get them over, and it makes for fun characters, and gives even you know, on occasion, well, not really in their case, but it can give you the opportunity to have character development. But it's just weird. Like there's just no purpose of it, and they don't even wrestle. It's bizarre.
If I remember right, I think this segment may have been the one that was supposed to air on SmackDown, was taped like a week before last week's SmackDown. So this may have been 2 weeks in the can.
Yeah.
So I don't know. We'll see what happens, but it just seems like you're treading water. That's for sure. When they're over, I mean, they had that great appearance 205 Live with Gulak.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I thought they could have done more with that.
Yeah. But who knows? All right, next match is WWE World Heavyweight Title, Jinder Mahal against Shinsuke Nakamura. This was an intriguing match in many ways going into the show. We had the polarizing angles leading into the show, which made national news, including our buddy Vic Venom Bites getting quoted in the Washington Post. Gender is polarizing this match. Gender is polarizing, period. It seems like you either are really into him or you hate his guts. It seemed like in a lot of ways. But this match, Nakamura worked hard in this match, I think. He picked it up later as the match went along. And it turned out to be a pretty good little match. The Singh brothers, who have been helping Jinder retain his title in most matches, you know, they got kicked out of the building later on. So that added some intrigue there. The fans popped for that. That's when the heat really got going strong, was when they got kicked out. And then Jinder ended up winning clean as a sheet. Kind of surprising in a way. I mean, I knew Jinder was going to win. I figured we got the India tour coming in December. It's obvious. But winning that clean, That's something. I've seen a lot of people now saying that the bloom is completely off Nakamura's rose now, and he's now pretty much just a guy. So after this finish, so where do you fall in the match and Nakamura's situation now?
I thought the match was pretty good, and I actually think it had the most heat in this show up until besides the opener. Like this match had heat even in the beginning. I mean, the fans were chanting Nakamura's name, like when Jinder had the arm lock that he always has on, the key lock vice, whatever it is, you know, the you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. His go-to hold that he grabs on in every match. I don't know what you would call it, but
I'm blanking on it right now.
But So, I mean, the fans were into it. I thought this was pretty good. This kind of reminded me of the Randy matches, you know? Like, those first two Randy matches were pretty good. So this was a pretty good match, had good heat. I thought the tease of Nakamura actually winning after the Singh brothers got thrown out was really smart and well done. And then the finish was well executed. And, it got a big reaction, so... Yeah, I think this was a success. And as far as Nakamura goes, I thought he was fine in this match. I also thought Jinder was fine in it as well. But the thing is, Nakamura just isn't that good. Like he doesn't work hard enough on a consistent basis to really deserve top billing, in my opinion. And I mean, I know that sounds harsh. I mean, I've watched the guy for several years now. I mean, when he's on, he's one of the best wrestlers in the world, but he's on about 5% of the time. So it's hard for me to feel that sympathetic for a guy who's that lazy a lot of the time. As far as what they're going to do with him, I still think the long-term plan is to have he and AJ WrestleMania, and I'm starting to think it'll probably be he and AJ for the title at WrestleMania, world title. You know, I think that's probably what it's going to be.
I mean, that's the ultimate end game for sure.
Right, right. I think it looks like it might be AJ taking the strap off of Jinder at Clash of Champions, right after the India tour, or maybe at Rumble. You know, and then building to AJ Nakamura from there. Yeah, I mean that's fantasy booking, you know, a little bit, but that seems like a logical direction for what they're booking, you know, especially after tonight with AJ losing the U.S. title and Jinder winning the way he did. What they're going to do with Nakamura, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's Survivor Series coming up. He's got 6 or 7 weeks of TV to build him up. Maybe have him be a sole survivor at Survivor Series or something.
Or, you know? I mean, or Survivor Series sets up, you know, him and AJ.
Sure, yep.
Where something happens there. I mean, right. It's just, there's going to be something going on for sure, you know, to tide him over, but it's like, what? That's the thing with SmackDown, is that with Raw, we could, you know, we could come up with these types of matches, because Raw's got a lot of people on their roster. SmackDown right. is just depleted, so it's just,
yeah,
it's an interesting way of going about that. Kevin Owens cuts a promo that it may have been one of the best promos he's ever cut in his life. I thought this was a tremendous promo here. And it was a good way to build up intrigue into their match later on the show. And I know so a lot of people thought that was a hell of a babyface promo he cut on Shane McMahon. And he was supposed to be the heel. So...
yeah, I prefer serious Kevin Owens, and that was a very good promo for sure.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
Then we get the deathmatch slot. Two straight shows with deathmatch slots here. We been a while since we had that. Bobby Roode against Dolph Ziggler. Oh boy. I like Bobby Roode. I am a Bobby Roode fan. Dolph Ziggler is trash. Boy, I was not into this. I don't care about Dolph Ziggler. So, and this match seemed like it was going on way too long, too. Roode got the win, like he should have, no doubt. And then they cut the heat off right after.
So stupid.
Yeah, it made no sense. Dolph attacks him immediately, and I guess this feud must continue. But Jesus,
yeah, yeah. This was. I mean, the match was average. You know, it was inoffensive. But I mean, I didn't care about it really. When Roode was on offense, the fans were into it. But when Dolph Ziggler was on top, they were bored and snoring and falling asleep, hands on their asses. Dolph Ziggler sucks. He's a terrible wrestler. I mean, he even, you know, live up to his gimmick of being a good ring worker. I mean, he sucks. It's sad. Roode should have won with a freaking glory in his DDT instead of a, you know, pulling the tights roll up. And then getting attacked right out. That's just so stupid. Roode should have won with a glorious DDT, did his glorious deal, and left. Now we have to see this crap more. That just sucks. That's the one big blemish on this show, is really the result of that match. Ugh. It was bad. I thought that was the worst book part of the show, actually.
It made no sense. And they got Dolph coming out with you know, they play his interest and they do the record scratch, and he comes out with, you know, with no music and all black stage, like he's fucking 30 years ago. And I don't care about Dolph Ziggler. I don't care. Get him off my TV.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just ridiculous.
It's bad.
It's just ridiculous. And it's hurting Roode. It's dragging him down.
Yep.
And Bobby Roode's a guy, I mean, he's pretty much the theme song, but the guy's over, and he can work. Do something with him, for God's sakes. Get him away from this shit. Ugh. Anyway, moving on. Main event, Hell in a Cell, Falls Count Anywhere match. Yes, Falls Count Anywhere in a Cell. Kevin Owens against Shane McMahon. Of course, they fought outside the cell before they got in the cell. Shane throwing some of the worst punches you've ever seen in your life. Which never ceases to amaze me. Then you have the match inside the ring. The highlight of the inside the ring stuff, I think, to me, was Kevin's kids, no selling. You know, the punishment. Shane's kids, no selling the punishment.
Laughing.
Just laughing.
Fuck no selling, laughing.
Just laughing. Yeah, laughing at Kevin Owens. And, you know, we get all the stuff in the cage. We get Shane missing the Shooting Star Press. We get Shane in the Van Terminator, which he's the only guy in the company that can do it. Of course, they go outside and do all the brawling, get on top of the cage, stay on top of the cage for quite a while. And, you know, there's some hard spots. That pop-up powerbomb on top of the cage, like, it hurt like shit. And I thought that should have been the spot to go through the cage. But no, they had other plans in mind. They climbed down, and Owens went through the table, and I thought, okay, if this is it, they really fucked the fans over by teasing them what was going to happen. But they delivered. Shane gets back up there and does his dive off the top of the cell, which was insane. And I don't know how his shoulder could stand that, because he landed very hard on his shoulder. Very, very hard on his shoulder.
Yes, he did.
So hopefully he's not seriously injured. And then Sami Zayn pulling Kevin Owens off the table and putting Kevin on top of Shane to win the match. So now we have Kevin and Sami together again. Sami, this was foreshadowed. We should have seen this coming. And if I'm not mistaken, this may be the first time Sami Zayn's ever been a heel. So this should be interesting to watch.
Someone on PWO said when they were watching him back in the Quebec Indies, he was a heel way when he first started.
Okay. So, but still.
It's
been a long time. But yeah,
15 years probably.
The thing about Shane matches, and I'm entertained by Shane matches, always have been.
Oh, sure.
But
me too.
The thing is, though, with Shane matches is, well, especially these past few ones, other than maybe the AJ match, it seems like you're just waiting for the big spots to happen.
Sure.
And everything in between is just there. You know, I kind of want more meat sometimes, you know, but this was what it was. Long match, went over 30 minutes, and the fans got what they wanted. So this one will be remembered for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So what are your thoughts about it?
Well, first of all, this was definitely better than Triple H versus Shawn Michaels from Bad Blood 2004. So let's get that. We have to make sure to get that out of the way.
Yes.
So we have to make that clear.
Absolutely.
Because that's the worst Hell in a Cell match ever. That's
wait a minute now. What about Triple H, Kevin Nash?
Fripp's Kevin Nash was better than a Triple H.
It's been a while since I've seen.
Because at least Foley was a ref taking bumps in it.
Yeah, it's been a while since I've seen
that. Taking bumps in it, so.
Yeah.
I also hate End of an Era too, but that's just me. I hate a Triple H taker himself with Shawn's terrible act. God, it was bad. but this was much better than both those matches. I don't know whether to call it good or bad. I really don't think it was bad. I'm not sure if I want to call it good. It was fun. It was compelling. When they were up fighting on top of the cage, I thought it was legitimately terrifying, like actually scary. And when they would do the spots and stumble back after a punch, it was like I was actually scared for them, because you don't know what's going on. It's scary. Like that's what the Foley Taker match created with these cell matches, though. You know, it's like you literally don't know what the fuck's gonna happen when these guys are up there on top of the cell. It's very scary. Like I was like gasping of fear. One thing you have to notice is, I thought it was very clever that they teased all the famous legendary classic Hell in a Cell spots. They teased the Shawn bump earlier when Shane was climbing up after Kevin. They teased Owens diving off like Shane did, you know, and then he couldn't do it out of fear. They teased the top of the cell breaking, like the Triple H Cactus match, or the Taker Foley match too. So I thought that was really clever that they teased all those famous spots. And then, you know, they finally delivered, you know, I thought it was smart that they started to climb down and acted like they weren't going to do it. And then of course, Kevin, takes the bump through, the most egregious looking crash pad I've ever seen. Like I mean, it's obvious that they, you know, I mean, like, of course, you know, they're going to have crash pads. They'd be, you know, dead if they didn't, but it's like, oh my God, that's a crash pad, because the announce tables don't normally look like that. So Kevin goes through there, and then Shane tries to finish him off. The timing of the Sammy taking KO off the table is pretty impeccable. And as my brother Dustin tweeted, that timing was pretty great, because we were about a split second away from three deaths.
Yes.
Like, no joke. That's an insane spot to do, because not only was Shane's bump crazy, and God, I hope his shoulder is okay, because I think that's what probably hurt more than anything, was just Zayn timing, you know, Zayn and Owens timing getting out of the way. Like that's a crazy, crazy spot. The right guy won. I actually like the idea of Shane, pretty much would have won if not for Zayn, because Kevin Owens was pretty savagely beating his family and insulting him and stuff. So I had no problem with the idea that Shane could have won. But, you know, the right person won regardless. And this is a compelling, this is pretty interesting stuff. I knew there was something coming. There was something coming. There were, you know, every week it was Sami Zayn trying to talk Kevin out of this and that. I was like, okay, so something's going on. You know, these two are getting back together was my prediction as baby faces. Well, now they're getting back together as heels. So, although it could be a double turn, where Kevin doesn't want to be with Sammy and they turn Kevin face and turn Zayn heel. So we don't know the full story yet.
No, we don't.
We'll have to see what happens. But I thought that was a really good ending and a tremendous angle to end the show on, because I think it's creates a lot of interest, and it certainly makes a lot of fans happy. Who I consider, there are people who are pretty, you know, negative about WWE who are big Sami Zayn fans, and they were satisfied with it. So I think it satisfies a large group of people for Sami to be involved in a main event angle on the main roster. I thought that was a pretty compelling ending of the show.
You know, the thing is with Sami is that they could always go with the angle, if for continuity purposes, you know, that of how Stephanie treated Sammy.
Yeah.
On Raw.
Yep.
And then once Sammy gets on SmackDown, he's pretty much a non-factor. On SmackDown, he could say that the McMahons are trying to hold him back.
Yeah.
It's a conspiracy by the McMahons.
Yeah, that's very true, and they don't fear continuity as much anymore. So
no.
You know, for a long time they something would happen and then you know it was forgotten about. They've done better about that, so it's not out of the realm of possibility for that to be brought up.
No, it isn't. So a lot of unanswered questions coming out of this show. Owens and Zayn were. Who knows? Who knows what the story's going to be out here with these two?
Yeah.
So, interesting stuff. Very long show, 3.5 hours.
So, yes, it was. And I do generally agree that I think it was too long, but I actually, like, for example, I don't think the triple threat was too long. I just wouldn't have had, you know, Dolph Ziggler ever in a match.
That's the truth.
Or Natalya, for that matter. So
yeah. Well, anyway, Shane left on the stretcher with his thumbs up, so.
Which was hilarious. Dylan and I burst out laughing when that happened.
Yeah. It felt like it's a complete parody. So,
yeah,
stupid. All right. So now we go to thumbs up, thumbs down, thumbs in the middle. What do you think?
I had a lot of fun watching this show, and I came out much more satisfied. And I thought there were two tremendous matches in the New Day Usos and U.S. Top Triple Threat. So I'm going to give it a thumbs up.
I got to give it a thumbs up, too, because I didn't have expectations going to show that it was going to be, you know, as good as it was. So you got to give them the credit for that. And you had two very memorable cell matches for different reasons.
Yes.
So that's definitely a plus. And if you have not seen the New Day Usos cell match, you need to see it. I'm telling you. You just Definitely. Need to see it because it's just tremendous stuff. All right. On that note, we'll close the show out here. And we'll be back in 2 weeks for another gimmick pay-per-view show, TLC. And boy, is it getting hot and heavy on Raw.
Woo! Looks like it'll be Shield versus The Bar and Miz. That'll be interesting.
Yes. So a lot of stuff going on there. And we'll see if they can one-up this show. So, we'll be back in 2 weeks. For Devin, this is Chris saying so long from the Peach State of Georgia.